Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Five lucrative jobs that don't require a college degree. So, when you think about a college degree at this point, I mean, the cost is going up, 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 right?
Absolutely.
At some point or another, you reach the threshold for making enough money to pay for this thing to make it make sense. There are a lot of people out there right now who are saddled with debt from their college degree. In some cases, it's never going to get paid off. It's keeping them from moving forward. It's keeping them from getting the jobs that they want to get, keeping them – you can't get rid of it in bankruptcy. The only way you can get rid of your college debt is dying. And
and a lot of these people that have these masters or whatever in these, you know, whatever crazy things, the only marketplace for them is what I call the parasite class, is to go work in some, you know, public education, to go be a teacher somewhere. And that's just like my niece, for example. We took her out to dinner the other night and she's talking about, you know, college and doing this. And I'm like, what's the end game? You know, what are you going to do?
Right. And, like, that's not the end game anymore. Like, college isn't the goal any longer. It's whatever is after college. And if college gets you to that thing that's afterwards, then that's great. Presumably, these student loans are basically anything that would be savings. Like, the idea you pay off the student loans and then you begin putting the same amount toward savings in the future. So I don't know what obviously, I can't say what any individual may have in student loans. Some have more than others. Presumably, they believe they could get paid more than others. But one of the biggest problems is you got this 18-year-old comes out of high school. You don't believe they're old enough to drink. Frankly, they're not old enough to make a lot of sexual decisions, but you believe they're old enough to sign up for a contract that's going to hang over their head for 20 plus, potentially plus years. I mean, my wife's student loans just got paid off. She was done with college before I met her. We've been together since 2003.
I know a guy who is 61 years old and they're still coming after him for his student loans. He 4 years ago, we were doing some legal stuff on like how to kind of like fight off and beat these student loans somehow. And I referred him to some folks. He never really followed up. But at that point, 4 years ago, what he had already made for payments was like 30% more than the actual original loans. And what he owes now is something like, you know, and he went finished college in the 70s. And what he owes now is something like 3 to 4 times as much as the original loan.
With penalties and interest.
Oh, yeah, because mm-hmm. the interest is all crazy and the penalties, and it's such a racket.
I know an MBA who works on cars for a living and has a second job installing appliances.
A lot of my buddies, I graduated high school in 98. So that, and the huge push was back then was the guidance counselors. You know, listen to the guidance counselors. These guys are going to, you just listen to a guidance counselor, your life is going to be sweet. And they had these people, these guidance counselors would recommend, you know, you get to like these firms that would help you write grant applications or college assistants or, like grant money. Like a bunch of my buddies got like a few $1,000 here and there for like whatever, football, this, that, and the other thing, chess team or something. But and then like, you know, 2003, 2004, my buddies, you know, got 4, 5, 6 years in college and they're like, hey, dude, can I go throw some hay with you? And I'm like, well, what about that fancy college education you got? How come you're not making like $100,000 a year? He's like, there's really no jobs. You know, I went to school, you know. Mr. Thompson was actually the guidance counselor, and he's like, you know, my friend Brian, he went to school for basically like computer-generated, you know, cartooning. I forget what the heck it was called, but, you know, he showed me a little thing he made.
And he's I'm sure that that's lucrative and that you can – that thing sounds like you might be able to use that back then at some point. Frankly, I would be looking for the person who takes their GED at 16 and then goes and starts working at a real job. When you're at 16 and you're going out and you're getting a real job and you're starting to look at the future, then maybe you can start begin to discern what it is that you really want to do. Asking a kid who's 17 years old, because that's when you're supposed to start applying to colleges, and supposed to know what it is that you want to do, I guess, because you'd want to apply to the college that has the best degree program in the area that you want to go, right? Right.
And most of these 17-year-olds haven't done anything productive. They've played sports ball.
Right.
Well, that's what a 17-year-old wants to do. I'm going to be a basketball player, or baseball player, or whatever.
Yeah. You know, if basketball can get you into a university where you can get a degree at a low cost, then by all means, play some basketball. It'll burn some calories. Sounds like a good thing to do. I was at work from I started working at 12 years old, but I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to follow orders. I wanted to be an employee. I wouldn't have stated that to you, but I didn't have any goals surrounding a career. I wasn't prepared to start talking about a career. I wasn't prepared for years after that. So asking me for that is unfair. And this career path where we say to kids, you got to get your SAT, you got to get your ACT, you got to go from 12th grade to 13th and 14th and 15th and 16th grade and go on. That doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, you're talking about the truck drivers thing. I've been driving now for 20 years.
Thank you for your service.
It's a great job, man. I love it.
Yeah, nothing exists in America that a truck driver didn't bring us. So thanks.
That's exactly right. But, I make, in some cases, for an entry-level police officer nowadays, I average around $80,000 to $85,000 a year. And I'm not gone that much. I'm usually gone 3 weeks and come home for a week.
Okay.
But these policemen out here that are getting, putting their lives on the line, and they're getting shot at every day and getting killed. They're making half of what I'm making.
Well,
sometimes
I would caution you on this, Jeff. Although, the what we see on television is cops getting shot at, but it's not even one of the top 10 most dangerous jobs. And frankly, it's the truck drivers whose lives are shortened who are actually doing the more dangerous job. Because in many cases, truck drivers, they're not getting a lot of exercise. They're getting obese. They're away from their wives who might be watching what they eat and stuff like that. And their lives are shortened as a result. I'd say the truckers have the more dangerous job.
Well, statistically, truckers are. Well, it is a much more dangerous profession than being a police officer.
Yeah, it's dangerous out there.
This is the first time I've listened to your show. It's really interesting. I live here in Chattanooga, but I'm up in Cleveland today. I wanted to touch a little bit on some things Samantha said and kind of back up a little bit of what she said about the automated trucks. I personally don't see it either for a very long time. A lot of drivers that are leaving the industry are leaving because of health risks.
Yeah, like just
anymore,
sitting.
We're being pushed out. You brought that up a minute ago with the obesity. A lot of it is the sleep apnea thing. And people don't know they have it. So they have to go get the test done, and then they have to have the machine and do everything that they're supposed to do. It shortens your DOT physical for 1 year instead of a 2-year card. Now you get a 1-year card.
Mm.
It's a hassle.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a hassle. And the money thing, they come up and pay a little bit across the industry because they are needing drivers. A lot of companies now are moving to automatic instead of shifting gears.
Okay, I was going to asking
so
what
it,
automatic
it makes
meant.
It exponentially easier to learn how to drive a truck if you just learn how to back one up and hold lane, maintain lane, stability.
That's about it, right?
That's pretty much it.
I think that the bulk of institutions and buses and unions and instructors and, people that get a break for being in sports. I want to throw most of that out. I want to get rid of it.
Inefficiencies in the marketplace, right?
What's that?
Inefficiencies in the marketplace.
Well, exactly. I mean, the fact is that, learning is the process of delivering data, no?
Okay.
And so also the young people that are motivated, which are most of them,
I'll take your word for that.
The vast majority of them are in fact interested in that delivery data, data delivery, right?
All right.
The incremental cost of any piece of data being delivered, you know, whatever kind of media it is or whatever, you know, someday probably going to be direct connections to our brains. But in the meantime, we have,
now there's a screen in the way at this point.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
The big thing is with a college education is that you're directly working with people who are holding you accountable, and you're working with companions and coworkers, basically, that are helping you become the best student and learner you can be. And it's not just about information.
Do you mean like a bachelor's degree, or are you talking about, beyond a bachelor's?
I'm talking about before, when we're in high school, we should be working with other students, you gain social skills and the ability to think critically that you wouldn't get if you were just reading a book at home.
I don't know what it was like for you in high school, but in my high school, we were rarely, maybe a handful of times, assigned one of these sort of group projects. And usually what it taught me was that I could talk the ugly smart girl into doing my work for me.
It's not even about the group projects alone, but just being in a classroom with other students, engaged in the student conversation. The teachers go to school themselves for a long time.
Yep.
Teaching as a skill has improved a lot over the past 20, 30 years.
Schools are better now than they were.
You couldn't handle it now. Yeah.
Okay.
And the high schools are better now. The colleges would be better if we took better care of our TAs and the assistant teachers.
How can we complain about the people?
Using them as,
how can we complain about the people that these institutions are kicking out so much more? Andrew, go to Europe if you want free college. Why in the world would you stay here?
How about I make my home country better?
But how about, like, why would you do that? I picked up my life and I moved.
Why would I make my country better?
No, let me give you. I have a serious question here. This is a serious question
sure.
that I cannot get answered by one of these people who wants to turn college into 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th grade. I seriously don't understand. Oh, and free medical, because that goes along with it. I know you're down with
it.
I'd
love to answer this question.
I know. Here's my question. My question is, mm-hmm. I picked up my life 12 years ago to move for the Free State Project because I believe that the maximum role of government should be the protection of life, liberty, and property. I, like thousands of mm-hmm. other people, moved from Florida, in my case it was Florida, from other places around the world to New Hampshire to work for that one particular goal. If I found mm-hmm. a place that was more libertarian than the place that I live significantly, and I thought that that was the place where we were going to see some benefits, I would pick up and move there. So when I hear somebody say, they do it better in Denmark, I'm like, go to effing Denmark. Like, I'm not saying I want to get rid of you, because I've been told to move to Somalia so many times that I could strangle somebody over it. What I'm saying is why would you live your life in Albuquerque when you could go, when paradise is just around the corner?
Groups of people are facing oppression, and that they can't just pick up and move. And if they do, they can face oppression where they go. So if you look at African Americans after Reconstruction failed, they went to the North, and then due to the redlining and bigotry
yep.
and discrimination, ended up being thrown in the ghettos. So then what should they do? Should they move someplace else, get beat up someplace else? You know, it's just like, where do the poor go to not be taken advantage of?
I would agree with you that African Americans had decades of real problems about figuring out where to live in the United States. I think that mm-hmm. individually, an African American or black person can solve their problems, and that would be through education, hard work, and a good attitude. Right? Those things are going to go a long way.
But education costs too much money, I thought. So now we're back at square one.
Well, go work as a plumber.
Made groups of people poor.
Fine, go work as a plumber. Go work as a carpenter.
I would like to point out what is the number
There's
one.
There's only so many plumbers that not everyone can be a plumber, though.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the plumbing businesses. Obviously, the trades is really the answer here, right? Like, you know what I'm saying.
Trade schools are amazing, and you can't just learn trade schools on YouTube either. That's the point. You need to
You can definitely learn the trades on YouTube. Watching videos. Kids learn how to blacksmith. They get the ideas, and then they go right into it, and they can apply it practically. I do it with them often.
I'm giving everybody really good advice, and that advice is work hard and have a good attitude.
Which is great in the end, but then if you look at how it works on the macro level, it's not true. And meritocracy is a lie, and it's always been a lie.
I didn't say anything about meritocracy.
But that's what you're saying. I came from the and you're going to be okay.
Here's the reason I don't. Here's the reason you're going to have a difficult time convincing me, Andrew. I spent 8.5 years in prison for a crime I didn't commit. I got out with nothing to my name. I am a highly successful.
Why are you the exemplar? You're not. Just because you could be the Jesus of making it from, like, nothing, rag to riches. I don't care.
All right.
I'm talking about so, groups of people and
let me
how
ask you this.
Behave.
Why should I give you one red cent for free without you working for
because
it? Why?
Because you live in a society that's going to be better because it's helping people. That's not a society that's worse. That has people.
If I don't want to pay, Andrew, what happens to me?
If you don't want to live in this society,
nope.
I guess you can move, right?
Well, yes,
right?
I can.
That's what you told
and that's
me.
That's a real problem.
You should leave the country
yep.
because I don't want to live in a country that has poverty in it.
What? So, well,
I want to get rid of poverty.
And Andrew,
I'm going to do everything I can to get rid of poverty.
As the United States drives
out
poor.
If you don't like us getting rid of poverty, then maybe you could move to a place that
you don't have poverty. There is no poverty in America. I'm of the opinion at this point that not that. The world does not need from this generation some people who are going to college. However, I would say that there are, for you personally, individually, there's decisions you're going to make. Before you go into college, hopefully there's some people listening. Maybe they're the parents of people listening or your grandparents of people listening who may be of the opinion college is right for everybody because that's what I was told. Well, I don't think it is anymore. And I wish if I could go back. That I would be able to tell some of my friends who went to college and that sort of thing that, well, there's better ideas. One of those ideas that was posited during this article was truck drivers. They make good money. And we had lots of truckers call in. I just want to go through this list and talk about some other kinds of jobs. And these are all going to be trades. Elevator installers and repairers. So glamorous, this job is not. Fulfilling and in demand, however, very much so. The Bureau of Labor Statistics states that this trade is experiencing an increasing amount of demand for workers while paying almost $40 per hour or a median of $80,000 per year without requiring any kind of regular higher education besides the on-the-job training and apprenticing. So, one thing I don't want to say is that going to vo-tech school is a solution to something. It could be. If you know the job you want to do, maybe vo-tech is the right solution, Vocational Technical Institute. But maybe it's not. Physically demanding career, boiler making is one of those jobs that, yet again, is desperately searching for staff. As reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you can generate $30 an hour, $62,000 a year, with no need to go to school. Now, the union itself has a school. They teach you how to do it. But you get paid on the job. Plumber, for being, this is one I mentioned earlier, For being a dying job, being a plumber is surprisingly lucrative. If you choose to go the self-directed route, you'll be able to benefit from the on-the-job training and apprenticing, which means that even as you're learning, you're getting paid. Salaries can vary between $52,000 and $90,000 a year, much more than you could expect working as an overqualified college intern. And yeah, I mean, you know, plumbers are always going to be in demand because people don't want to get their hands dirty.
Well, and the thing is, too, is everybody wants to be comfortable. They want to be in a house. They want it to be dry. They want it to be not too warm, not too cold. They want that running water. And all these things need maintenance. They all have, a lifetime. For example, you know, the roofers are always being in demand. Anybody who's going to do any kind of house remodeling and repair, auto mechanics, people want cars. They use them. You know, new cars are crazy expensive. And mechanics will always be, you know, in demand also. But yeah, plumbers, because people want to be comfortable. If you're in any kind of industry that provides comfort to people, you're going to have work to do.
So yeah, I'm a welder. I live in Albuquerque. I've traveled around the country. I didn't want you guys to get everybody too hyped up about being a boiler maker, no high school experience, because That's honestly the equivalent of like becoming a rock star, not only in this country, but I think most of the world.
So as a Boilermaker, it's unlikely to become a Boilermaker, you mean?
No, as somebody who didn't go to welding school.
Okay.
To just start apprenticing. The test to become a Boilermaker is extremely, extremely hard. Extremely hard.
So,
and I've worked for the National Labs, and I've welded on nuclear weapons.
Right.
I'm not a terrible welder.
Everybody fails the Boilerman test at least once. All Boilermen have failed that test. It's hard.
It's freaking hard, yeah.
Yeah, this is what, I mean, my father-in-law and my nephew are both Boilermen, and they just, you know, the union hired them, you know, and they took care of all the school.
That's amazing. It really is. I just don't want everybody, I mean.
There's a lot more welders than there are Boilermen, that's for sure.
That's definitely for sure.
But you would agree that welding is the sort of career, Jay, you're a welder too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, among your skill sets, is the sort of career.
What's up, Jay?
Hey.
The sort of career that one can parlay into meaningful and lucrative work, though,
many,
right?
Many, many other things. Yep.
When I was a kid a long time ago, 12 years old, I started working on cars. People were, you know, actually in the shop, they were willing to hire because you're cheap labor. I was getting paid less than minimum wage.
Sure.
But by the time I was a senior in high school, I was making more than an entry-level teacher by about 30%.
But you were exploited, Craig. You were exploited as a 12-year-old having to work for less than minimum wage learning how to fix cars.
I would say he got a priceless education.
I think he needs to find some lobbyist group that will advocate for him and have some kind of reparations made to him.
Yeah, just funnel that parasite economy more, right? You know, more just to keep on throwing money into nonsense. That's the problem with the whiners. You know, the squeaky wheel gets to grease, and these guys are just whining because they're just not receiving enough whatever.
Yep.
But, yeah, thank you, Craig, for, manning up as a kid.
Yeah, and now I make working in the coal mines, making $80,000 plus.
Do you think you've had any ill health effects? That's what I'm always told about coal mines.
If you're underground, you have to be more careful, but open pit, very little.
Michael is 24/7 PC guy, and we, you know, if we don't schedule it when the kids are at school or the baby's taking a nap, it doesn't happen. And if we don't do it, we hate each other.
Yeah,
and we know that.
Yeah, it's gotta be done. I mean, it shouldn't be hard or difficult, but if you throw it in the calendar, fine by you. I can't imagine that would work at my household. For my household, I think it's really just everybody sort of putting away the screens at the certain time. But you know, when you've got older kids and those kind of things, it can be a different issue.
I have a customer who is a. She's a psychologist, and she does like a lot of, she's a therapist. And she was saying that, like, telling me one day as we're stacking hay, she has a few horses, that her like biggest complaint from like the most common thing is married women that aren't getting enough love and affection, enough sex from their husbands, and their husbands would rather watch porn than like, you know, be intimate with their wives. And she says it's like a huge concern with you know, a lot of her clients.
Where exactly, what did you find this article about this? I would be interested in reading it in depth.
Verywellmind.com.
Verywellmind.com.
It was actually printed or it was uploaded March 16th of this year.
And this is what's the title of it?
It is The Multiple Links Between Sex and Stress by Elizabeth Scott.
There you go.
Okay.
And it's basically saying that that people, and you know, specifically they studied women in this one study here.
They did.
You know, because people care more about women having sex than men having sex, honestly. Turns out women have sex with men, but that's the interesting part. And so they studied women and said that, hey, look, these ladies were happier, had better days, they were more productive. Pretty much everything was better if they had sex.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's how it goes. And I don't think they're suggesting running around and finding as many sexual partners.
An intimate partner, someone that you care about and you can relate to.
Yeah. So, Matthew, thoughts?
Okay. Well, verywellmind.com. All right, I'm going to have to look that up.
Another part of the article says orgasms themselves are beneficial for our health, and they relieve stress. It can relax your body and release many hormones that are supportive of your overall health and wellness. This type of relaxation can also be great emotionally. Aside from the scientific findings, sex has some obvious stress management components. In addition to effectively taking your mind off of your worries for a decent period of time, sex provides some of these other stress management benefits.
So, you know, I agree that orgasms are good and positive and beneficial and all that stuff. And then I think about sort of, you know, like I got a dog and a cat at my house that have never had an orgasm in their lives, right? I mean, somehow they make it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, this is the thing that comes up for me. I don't even think the female cats and female animals, I don't even imagine have too much as far as, clitori, or they don't have sex for pleasure in the way. Same
no,
way
but
that,
when they go in heat, they crave it. They
oh,
want
yes.
it.
Yeah, yeah, you can definitely see that.
Yep.
Yeah, they make that very, very abundantly clear to you at that point. So, I don't know. People aren't dogs and dogs aren't people, but it was just the thing that popped up in my mind. I'm like, oh, well, I want everybody to be healthy. And, yeah, I think that this is one of the reasons that you've got to make a commitment in your mind, because it's easy to put these put sex on the back burner in a relationship, especially as the relationship gets older.
Or you have kids.
It's about the same number of people who get killed by a gun related fatalities as also auto related fatalities.
Yep. Now, that just to be clear, Sarah, I think it's important. I think it's 7 out of 8 of those fatalities by guns are suicides. It's some large percentage, a multiple of the homicide number, or even the accidental number. The homicide and accidental number combined, suicide is the by far the largest number. So go ahead.
So I mean, but all of the here's the thing is that all I hear about is the gun control law and all the people that want to oppose and declare sanctuary. That's all I ever hear about. And the only person that talks about auto fatalities and make a big deal about it other than myself? Who else makes a big deal about it?
Now, I think Americans really love the freedom that the automobile affords.
Yeah, the freedom that affords. But nobody thinks about the fatalities other than myself.
Well,
I live without.
There's plenty of people think about the fatalities. I was a firefighter for almost 20 years and a first responder, and we've definitely have picked up dead bodies, in cars, off the side of the road, off the back of, people on motorcycles.
Have you guys talked about receipt checking at stores before?
Receipt checking?
Yeah, when they check your receipts when you're leaving a store.
It's been a long time. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I was just calling in because I just think it's interesting how the sheeple just don't even understand that they don't even have to show their receipts, and people just actually get their receipts ready when they're going to leave the store.
And they wait in line.
The thing – sorry, what?
They wait in line. To get their receipts read.
Yeah.
You're talking when you leave, and they check your stuff in your basket. Yep. Yeah. I can understand. It helps with shrinkage.
But when you're shopping at like a Sam's Club or a Costco or it's a private membership store, if you don't show your receipt, they can ban you from the store. They can revoke your membership and then you can't go there anymore. But like at a Walmart, you have no obligation to show your receipt. And the way I approach it is if they ask me for my receipt, I ask if they're accusing me of stealing something. They always say no. Then I ask them if I'm being detained, and they say no. And then I ask them, if I'm free to go, and then they stumble and they're like, well, I need your receipt, at which point then I ask for a supervisor.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.